Let's pray. My Lord, we thank you that we've heard the truth. We've heard the scriptures. The scriptures say, as Jesus said, for him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, it's evident the truth of the gospel, and I pray that our ears would be open to hear what the Spirit has to say to us tonight. Lord, give us your truth. Give us the Spirit of truth. For the word says, by you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In Christmas time, as a pastor, you always wonder, well, what kind of sermon can I do? What more can you say that hasn't already been said in 1,000 sermons before? It was told pretty well here with the scriptures and in song. And so the title of my message is, what can you say that hasn't been said? Because what can you say that hasn't been said about Jesus, about his birth, about the incarnation, the arriving of God in a cave, a dusty, dirty stable full of smells of manure and hay, not very glamorous. Sounds of animals, goats and horses and sheep. Not in a palace, not in a hospital, not even in somebody's home. No anesthesia, nothing like that. No microwave warm white antiseptic cloths that they can wipe down the baby with. Nothing like that. What more can you say about a young man and a woman who arrived tired and hungry? She approaching the time of delivery. I ate a big meal and I don't want to move. She's been that way for months, riding on a donkey for miles, several days. What can you say that hasn't been said about an angel appearing to shepherds on a hillside? Multitudes of angels singing praises about the birth of a king who would save his people from their sin. What can you say that hasn't been said about the Magi, the wise men who were wise enough to search the scriptures and understood the coming of the Messiah while the religious people missed it altogether? What more can you say about how they traveled and they brought gifts to worship this newborn king, gifts that actually prepared him for burial? What can you say that hasn't been said about how they were summoned before the political establishment and questioned about why they were there? And like many governments, were lied to about how they should respond. Oh, come back and let us know about this king so we can worship him too. What more can you say that hasn't been said about a young carpenter who could have put his bride away? His young bride, perhaps 14 or 15 years old, could have had her stoned for adultery, who took on the shame and embarrassment of an entire town that assumed his young betrothed wife had played the harlot and given away her purity. What more can you say that hasn't been said about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of this person who was the fulfillment of, as we heard, over 300 prophecies, and how the odds of that happening, for you mathematicians, are 10 to the 57th power? It's not an accident. What more can you say? Well, apparently it's not enough. Apparently it's not enough. For how often do we forget that the world doesn't know Jesus? How often do we forget that there are churches full of those who are lonely, desperate, hardened, apathetic, at the end of their rope, bitter, unsaved, believing that maybe the world has a better deal for them? So maybe we need to say those things that haven't been said. How often we forget that the world doesn't want to know Jesus, hence court cases to say if it's okay to have a nativity scene in public. They don't want to know Jesus. We can't forget the world doesn't want to know the name of the Savior, that they don't want to know about this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father. The world goes into an uproar when a television show personality quotes scripture condemning sin. And as it stands, perhaps removing the most highly rated cable television show in the history of television. Apparently, even political correctness trumps the almighty dollar these days, and certainly trumps Jesus. What can you say that hasn't been said about Isaiah 9:6? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called not shall be. It's actually spoken in the present tense. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what about the names of God? What about Jehovah, spoken over 6,800 times in the Old Testament, or as the Jews knew it, as Yahweh? Jehovah, meaning the self-existent one. He's already there. He doesn't need to prove his existence. He is self-existent. That's why he said, I am who I am. That's why they fell down and got so angry when Jesus said, I am, when queried. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Rophe, the Lord who heals. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner. He is Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He is Yeshua, our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, for unto us a child is born. Now, historically, this was written during the time of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was just a young king. But we know that prophecy went way beyond then. Perhaps it did apply for that time, but it applied for that time several hundred years later when that wonderful counselor, wonderful, you know what it means? In Hebrew, it means miracle. It means marvelous. It means extraordinary, unusual, astounding, that which causes a great sense of amazement. But it's not just wonderful, it's wonderful counselor, which means to advise, to give counsel. Ya'atz is the word, to devise a plan. In other words, it's this astounding plan of action. For Isaiah 14:24 says, what Jehovah has planned, so it will stand. It's this amazing advice. And it goes way beyond advice. For not only is this counselor who gives perfect wisdom all the time, he's also a great warrior. For that's what the word mighty God means. El Gibor. It could also be God is warrior. God is mighty. It speaks of the military might that no enemy can ever surpass, that can ever prevail against him. He has the power to deliver. So he is the wonderful counselor, our ever-present help in time of need, who will conquer the enemy, who did conquer sin upon the cross. He is the everlasting Father, literally eternal Father, or eternal, literally the Father of eternity. Now, it's not where God was the Father and then he became different and vacated his place upon the throne. And then when he left, he vacated the position of Jesus and became the Holy Spirit. That's a term called modalism, which is for another time. But the Father was in heaven. And Christ the Son as the fulfillment of the prophecy. But essentially, he would act as a father over his children. As Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks. Eternal Father in that sense. He protects. He feels affection. He feels compassion. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And finally, the Prince of Peace, the word shalom. It means safe, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, absence of strife, literally the absence of war. And what is the war that we fight? The battle we fight every day is the war with sin. That which invades our mind, our thoughts, our desires, our very being, which the world promotes in neon signs, trying to confuse us and draw us in as though it appeals to something that we think that we need. And without the Spirit of truth, that becomes the ultimate end game. But with Jesus Christ, who gives us all that we need, who advises us with perfect wisdom, who counsels us with a compassionate heart, who prevails over the enemy, who comforts us like a father, and in doing so brings us peace that passes all understanding. And I'll close with this. John Calvin said it this way. He said, "Whenever, in short, it appears to us that everything is in a ruinous condition, let us recall to our remembrance that Christ is wonderful because He has inconceivable methods of assisting us and because His power is far beyond what we are able to conceive. When we need counsel, let us remember that He is the counselor. When we need strength, let us remember that He is mighty and He is strong. When new terrors spring up suddenly every instant, and when many deaths threaten us from various quarters, let us rely on that eternity of which He is with good reason called Father. And by the same comfort, let us learn to soothe all temporal distresses." And Calvin finishes with this. He says, "When we are inwardly tossed by various tempests, and when Satan attempts to disturb our consciences, let us remember that Christ is the Prince of Peace, and that it is easy for Him quickly to allay all of our uneasy feelings. This will these titles confirm us more and more in the faith of Christ and fortify us against Satan and against hell itself." What more can you say that hasn't been said already? Apparently, it needs to be shouted from the rooftops over and over and over. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for you and for I to set us free from the bondage of sin and give us eternal life. And it began with the incarnation, a baby in a stinky, smelly stable, of which shepherds visited, and the Magi eventually visited as well. And a sinless life led to a death that paid the penalty for you and I. Let's pray. Our Lord, we are thankful for Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would touch the hearts of any who have rejected You, any who have said, "I don't need religion, I don't want that, I don't need that, I don't need a crutch." Lord, I pray that their eyes would be opened. Lord, it is not our words that are going to persuade them, but it is Your Holy Spirit that's going to draw them. It is not going to be any sweet sounds of instruments and voices, but it is going to be the very presence of God bringing about repentance in our lives. We surrender to You. And I pray for any, Lord, whom You are touching tonight, that tonight would be the night of salvation where we receive You, where forgiveness of sin occurs, repentance of sin occurs, and new life is had in Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have one more.